Ian Collins wants a word. With Bite Back Publishing, 67 people I'd like to slap. The new book from Ian Collins. Available now from Amazon and all good bookshops.
Last Christmas, we sat here in the Once a Word grotto and promised merriment and joy for the year to come. We predicted a peaceful Yuletide and a 2017 that would make all previous years seem a distant memory. The new year, we predicted, would bring copious amounts of joy. 2 weeks later, Gordon Kaye died. There is no God. Nonetheless, and undeterred, and it should be said, equally shocked and sad at the departure of George Michael. We made our way through the last 12 months with trepidation. Sadly, there were more celebrity deaths to come and utter turmoil in our political system. Across the pond, Trump went ever more Trump-like. In the Middle East, ISIS went ever more ISIS-like. And in Brussels, Jean-Claude Juncker remained a
quack, quack, oops.
But frankly, we push such morose thoughts to one side as we prepare ourselves to tuck in, wrap up, tear open, decorate, eat, scrap and sleep in preparation for a wonderful Christmas episode of Once a Word. Life is, when all is said and done, rather good. And for the next wee while, it's going to be a festive blinder. Oh yeah, and then Keith Chegwin died. What a f***ing year.
Ian Collins wants a word.
So that was the intro. This is like the second intro. Or this is the third intro, because this is Sideshow Kev.
Ah, it's lovely, isn't it? It's all tinsel and fairy lights and mince pies and all that kind of ropey old shit.
Nice reindeer hoof.
It's these trousers, they're just really tight.
So what are we going to do, Kev? Because we haven't been here for some time. What's the word I'm looking for? Oh, that's right, a year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we've been busy doing other projects and stuff, but we always said we'd be back. Admittedly, we said we'd be back in January.
I think so.
But we forgot.
Yes, we forgot. That's what happened. By the way,
yes,
Will Guyot is on this episode.
I love Will, and I'm really hoping to. I want to hug the man. I haven't seen him for so long. I just want to give him a big hug.
No, it's not going to work like that.
Well, you know, we did have that slight problem. There was an issue with us last
year. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm conscious of that. I'm just hoping he's got over it now.
No, he hasn't.
I just want to give him. He must have done. No, it's been a long time.
Says here. Hi, Ian. I would love to take part in the Once a Word Christmas special, as long as that twat, Sideshow Kev, is nowhere to be seen.
Look, I'm prepared...
I mean, he couldn't have been clearer, really.
I'm prepared to forgive and forget, Ian. It's as simple as that. Okay. I will give him a nice hug and maybe a squeeze on the bottom, just to show that I'm over it, and I'm happy to move on and just be friends with the man.
P.S. Can I record it in a different studio so I don't even have to see him?
Bastard. Mind you, it doesn't matter. I've got a Christmas present for you.
Have you?
Yeah.
Very exciting.
End of the show, you're going to have the... I think it's fair to say, probably the finest Christmas present you've ever received, Ian. And I know you get a lot of things like gold and myrrh and things like that at Christmas. I can't remember the other one.
Frankincense.
Nah, the one. But if you... bear with me. I think you're going to love this. It's the gift that truly keeps on giving. And we'll do that towards the end of this podcast.
Good.
Shall we?
Yeah. In the meantime, let's do some feedback.
It's questions and feedback via social media and email. Some of these are new. Some of these have been hanging around for a year, so might be on the turn.
Well, that's right. It is Christmas. It's the bit, essentially, where we go through the junk you've emailed us or tweeted in our direction. It is not always pretty. In fact, if there was a social services for people who contact you with opinions on social media, we would have them on freaking speed dial now. We've selected messages that have a Christmassy flavour. Well, sort of. In fact, we aren't that organised. We just selected a handful of mighty missives from the Once a Word listener base, Kev.
Let's kick off, shall we?
Yeah.
From Justin Bieber's hairless ballsack. Justin writes, gents, many thanks for an amazing year of podcasts. It's your best yet. Here's to another great year. And he's put like 5 exclamation marks.
Yeah, because he's taking the piss.
Funny guy.
Can I just echo that with Sensible Sarah from Glasgow, who says, where the hell have you guys been? I know podcasting is still relatively new and often a bit random. I once had to wait a full 4 weeks for a new episode of Answer Me This. But a year, a full year, are you two a-holes for real? You've either got nothing to say or you're just a lazy pair of toss merchants.
Well, we haven't spoken to each other for a year.
No,
I mean,
this
is the first
time we've met.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I like the new hairdo. It's much. It's a bit more ginger than I was expecting.
Yeah, it's going that way.
Yeah.
Some people go grey. I'm just going red.
Yeah. Justin continues, I know the podcast is mainly about shite jokes and laughing at old sitcom stars, but with Trump and Brexit, I'm worried about the state of the world for the first time ever. Will 2018 be better or just as shit? Let's face it, 2016 was pretty pants too. You're a respected broadcaster and journalist.
Yeah, finger on the pulse and all the rest of it. I fear, Sideshow Kev, that it's going to get worse before it gets better.
Is that your expert opinion?
Yes, that's it. You won't hear Robert Peston coming out of that, will you? Trump will go.
Oh.
2018, Trump right. will go uh-huh. because he will be assassinated.
Oh, by?
No idea. Hillary Clinton. or Stephen Hawking, maybe.
Who's going to be next president of the United States, then?
Stephen Hawking.
Well, you think it'll be Stephen Hawking?
Yeah.
I think it's going to be The Rock. My money's on The Rock. I want
so?
The Rock to come and save us
yeah.
and lay the smackdown on Donald Trump.
You know what's interesting? Donald Trump only follows 12 people on Twitter, and one of them is Vince McMahon.
Really?
Yes.
How strange.
Why?
They used to do business together.
Well, that'll be why then.
Yeah.
Well, don't say how strange and then give me the fucking answer.
It was just because...
Why? Because they're business partners. Oh, yeah, that'll be
Yeah,
why.
But the point is he doesn't follow everyone he's ever done business with, does he? So,
no.
I mean, it's like... he's a president.
He also follows Piers Morgan.
Oh, does he?
Yeah.
I do as well. Is that bad?
No.
I find him quite entertaining.
He is
in a weird sort of way.
Annoyingly entertaining.
Yeah.
This one comes from Robert Mugabe, who says, Hi, guys. Any jobs going? P.S. Happy Christmas. Know anybody with a farm I can nick? Not right now.
Oh. There's no response to that, really, is there?
Not really.
I hesitate to read the next correspondent, what they've called themselves. This is not something that I've come up with, honestly. From... Rodney Buse's lonely dog.
Low.
It's very low. I feel quite ill. Rodney's lonely dog says, lots of dead celebrities this year. It's usually very sad, but are there any you're actually quite relieved are dead? For example, I always thought Brucey was a bit of a twat, and I won't miss him. Well, there's been a few. Max Clifford, for example.
Yeah,
it's hard to shed a tear. I know he has family and so on, but, you know, he did some wrong stuff.
Yeah.
And he was in prison for doing wrong stuff and, you know, was a very odd piece of work, let's say that.
Very odd. I told you, I had a meeting with him once.
Did you?
Yeah. And I met him interviewed him a couple of times, you know, in this job you kind of... So I was quite wet behind the ears and we were doing... It was sort of the Creatures of the Night time and somebody said, oh, you need to go and see Max Clifford and he'll kind of, you know, he'll launch the show into other kind of areas. So somehow, I think it was Mikey Boy Hansen.
Who?
He... arranged a meeting, and I went to meet Max Clifford. Very affable man, and he said, would you like something to eat? I thought, hello, where's this going? So he sent some person out in the office for some sandwiches, and came back, and I didn't have anything to eat, and he had this sort of tray of prawn sandwiches and proceeded to eat this plate of sarnies.
Oh.
At a volume I've never heard a human being eat before. It was the most extraordinary thing, to the point where I thought, hang on, there's a hidden camera in here somewhere.
Were they crunchy sandwiches or something?
No, he was just slapping his chops like a freaking piglet.
Yeah.
It was disgusting. And then, of course, you know, we know what happened after that. Well, not immediately after that.
Hang on. So he meets you and then it all goes to hell, is that
yes,
what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay. That's terrible. But then also, I mean, there's... Because obviously he's someone who has passed on... best of respect to his family and so on. But there's also a bunch of celebrities who we did like, who are very much heroes to us. Like Brian Cant died this year, didn't
true.
He? Which was bad. And Cheggers.
Cheggers.
Just the other day, Cheggers.
Yeah. What's going on?
Dear old Cheg.
Cheggers blade popped off.
Too soon, dude.
I thought, knowing we would probably talk about this, I was thinking, well, Bowie is the big one. Then I realised... It's the year before Bowie.
It was, yeah.
It's January 2016.
I mean, there have been a few that... like William G. Stewart died this year. This wasn't very well...
But people... Star Trek. Ugh. What were the chances? About 15 to 1.
Keith Barron of Duty Free.
Barron, yes.
Yeah.
Duty Free wasn't particularly funny, was it?
Duty Free was...
I think I probably liked it at the time.
It was a sitcom about cheating on your wife.
Yes.
It, morally,
and the hilarity that ensued.
Reprehensible,
yeah.
Really. Grotbags, your ex-girlfriend.
Carol Lee Scott
died.
She
popped off.
She did. Yeah.
That was sad. I know you and she were close once.
Yeah, not that close.
No, I didn't mean like that. It's a joke. Adam West, Batman.
Adam West went.
And I'm going to say this, and this will be one of those things that nobody listening will get it, but I just want to see the look on your face when I say John Noakes.
Was that this year?
Yeah, I believe it was, yeah.
Noakes, he went.
Dear old John Noakes. And Shep had gone sometime before.
Yeah.
Oh, and Rodney Bewes, obviously, who went.
I didn't realise that him and James Bolan really had a row that lasted 30 years.
Oh, it's...
never made up.
And yet Bolan has worked consistently, right? He's always doing something. Because he's a granddad in your pocket, parents. You might know that one.
Yeah, that's right. But he is. He's in the pocket.
Do you remember in the 1980s he was Andy Capp when they did an Andy Capp TV series based on the popular newspaper column about beating up your wife and getting drunk all the time and not having a job? They did a TV series, and James Bolan was in Andy Capp.
He was. And more than that, which into Cap territory rather than Bolan territory, they did a West End musical of Andy Capp, which I went to see. And
any good?
Tom Courtney played Andy Capp, and it was fucking shit. I think it closed after about 6 weeks. I remember the man sitting next to me fell asleep. I was only about 15.
I'm just thinking, because you're on the radio, it's like, you know, you get the quotes outside the theatre. It's like, you know, average, whatever. Fucking shit. Ian Collins, talk radio.
I've had a few of those on...
I know you have.
On a couple of buses and posters.
It's interesting, though, with Andy Capp. You know what I discovered a couple of months ago? And this is unbelievable, and you can Google this, and it's absolutely true. Andy Capp has a range of crisps across the United States, which are incredibly popular. They're like chipsticks, but it's Andy Capp.
In the image.
In the image, and it says Andy Capp's, like, hot sticks or whatever they are.
Really?
Mind-blowing!
How did that happen?
I don't know, but it's one of those things where it seems like very British and very sort of, you know, small-scale, colloquial...
Yeah, yeah.
You know...
Do you know who drew the cartoon?
It was Reg Smythe.
Reg Smythe, that was it, yeah.
But I just find it fascinating that there are Andy Capp crisps.
That's extraordinary. It's
just crazy. The world's gone mad, Ian.
This from Patsy Palmer's next door neighbour, who says, have either of you guys ever lived next door to a famous soap actor? I do, and it's rather fun. The other day, I saw old plastic face Daniela Westbrook pitching up at Patsy's place. She had a bottle of wine in her hand and was clearly off for a festive sesh. Am I the only person who once thought that dear Daniela was ultimate girlfriend material? Time has clearly not been kind. Right now, I'd rather date Sid Owen. Apropos nothing. Kev.
From Emmeline's Solid Steel Sausage Machine. So Doctor Who is without a for the first time in over 50 years. Kev, what do you think? And Ian, are you sad the woman cast isn't Molly Weir? I mean, that would be hard if she's dead, but she'd still be better than Colin Baker. Obviously, I won't watch the show again, as it's going to be shit. Ian, now, you and I have only briefly... We haven't really spoken very much about this at all.
No.
And, you know, I'm a big Doctor Who fan. I think it's going to be brilliant. She's an amazing actress, Jodie Whittaker, and it's going to be exactly what the show should be doing, and I can't wait for it.
So there's a woman playing Doctor Who?
Yes.
Okay. So Molly Weir is playing Doctor Who?
Well, no, but I would imagine you would enjoy that.
Because the other guy... oh, Molly, him. Where's my sonic screwdriver? Rent a fucking TARDIS, Molly. Him.
Peter Capaldi.
Malcolm Tucker.
That's
him. Is no longer Doctor Who.
Well, he is until Christmas.
Okay. And at any point in the Christmas twist, which is the metamorphification, I gather, assume.
It's a bit more cold. He meets the first Doctor as well.
The first Doctor?
Yeah.
Hartnell.
Well, no, he's dead as well. But someone else playing the first Doctor.
Well, I thought, I mean, bearing in mind Peter Cushing does Star Wars, I mean, it's possible that...
And he did Doctor Who, if you think about it.
He did do Doctor Who, yes.
But that's not canon, so...
No. But they're not imposing Hartnell. They're not taking a...
No.
Right.
That would be awkward.
Well, it's doable.
I suppose it is, yeah. Yeah. Well,
they've done it before. I'm sure they've done it before. And they've gone through all the Doctor's faces quickly.
No, well, maybe a little bit. Yeah, here and there, I guess. But
McCoy, does he pitch up?
No, he's not. He's not
really.
You've got the first Doctor, and you've got the 12th and the 13th. Okay. I'm excited about it.
Yeah,
and I'm sure that you are too. Because For the first time, straight Doctor Who fans can kind of fancy the Doctor. That's a very sexist thing to say. You know, Ian, that Doctor Who has one or two gay fans.
I heard about this. Yeah. It was on the forums.
What?
This comes from Santa. He says, guys, I have a couple of spare copies of Double Entendres 2017. I'd like to give you one.
You know what? I could see that coming a mile away.
And he says, it's in my big sack. Maybe I should come down your chimney and leave it in your special place. Santa,
fuck off. That's a single entendre.
Yeah.
From Donnie Brasco of The Wirral.
Ah, Donnie.
Donnie writes, Ian is a respected broadcaster. nice one, Don. Hang on, there's more. Who's been on air giving views about a great many serious subjects, and yet the angriest I've ever heard him was when he ranted about the state of so-called Maltesers in boxes of celebrations. Does any other confectionery make him angry? And if so, has he considered any kind of therapy?
Well, confectionery therapy is something I would... Because there's a lot of things going on. Every year, a tabloid does one of those, you know, the shrinking size of your quality street and whatever, and they show you what the tin used to look like.
Yeah.
Which essentially was a sort of a drum that when, if it was filled with oil, it could have fueled the Middle East. It was that big.
Right.
Full of beautiful chocolate, and of course it's got smaller, and now it's made of plastic, and now it's made of really thin plastic. And it's full of, you know, fewer sweets. However, the Malteser,
yeah,
which pitches up in celebrations,
I think it's celebrations, yeah.
Doesn't it's not a Malteser. This is my problem. It's not, it doesn't look like a Malteser. It's not a Malteser.
Your face is getting redder and redder as you talk about it.
It's not a Malteser. It's something else.
It has Malteser-ish elements.
It's got Malteser-based properties, as I think the confectionery world would say.
Do you know what Malteser is meant to be?
It's meant to be something.
It's meant to be something. It's meant to be like a malted chocolate milk type drink, like you might get in American diner. The guy who invented it, that's what he was going for.
Is that right?
Yeah.
You know, there's a whole sort of phone-in on how they get the chocolate on a Malteser. You're aware of this. And it's the sort of thing that probably in 1978, Clive Bull would have spent, probably done a week's worth of shows on LBC on this one. I must ask him later. The theory is, how do you get the chocolate on there? Because there's no point. There's no, like, little... dab of chocolate where it ends.
Yeah.
So how do they get the chocolate on there? Because it's got to dry. How do you do that?
Well, you roll it around, don't you? Like in a sort of like...
Yeah, but you'd have to be a point on the spherical surface of the Malteser that there would be a little blip where you'd have to rest it to dry.
Do they have, like, pixies who file off the edges or something?
One theory was... I heard somebody say, the theory is they have a massive... bingo machine. And they just fire these sort of chocolate-less balls and then squirt chocolate in there. And they dry off that way. Because there's no base to the... There's no point on the surface of the sphere where you can see that the chocolate has rested.
The Chocolate Has Rested is a great movie, by the way.
Loved it. This comes from... Lenny the Lag, who says, spare a thought for us boys locked up at Her Majesty's pleasure this year. Not all of us are murdering molesters. Some of us just made a mistake. It's lonely here during the Yuletide leg of a sentence, alliteration from the crimps.
Yeah.
That said, my cellmate Max dropped dead last week. So it's not all bad. Second reference in one episode.
Do you know the story that somebody left a note on his pillow? That he did.
This surprise. Is going to be bullshit, isn't it?
No, it was. It will surprise you to hear that Max Clifford apparently annoyed some people when he was alive, and someone left a note on his pillow on his first day in his cell, which says, "Prison is every bit as bad as you've heard," as in the stories
when he first arrived,
yeah, or words to that effect.
There was a letter that I noticed did the rounds on Twitter, which was printed in Viz some years ago, that said something on the lines of, if Max Clifford was that good at public relations, why is it that everybody thought he was a quack-quack? Which is a reasonable point.
By the way, technology. Yeah. You know you like your technology bits and pieces. Where are you in the great Alexa versus Siri debate as to which is better?
Well, use Alexa a lot in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
For radio, music, and timing food.
As a timer, it's amazing, yeah.
All the time. That's all you hear all day in our house.
It's weird, though, because I find my relationship with Alexa and Siri are very different. In that I find I treat Alexa like a lady. Like, very, genuinely very nice. Like, Alexa, yeah, can you turn up the heating? Alexa, can you set a timer? All these nice things. Mm. And with Siri, I'm like, stop, pause, play, yeah, all that kind of thing.
Brutal.
Brutal. Yeah, brutal. I feel like a disgusting man when I talk to Siri.
But you'll be aware that there's an episode of South Park where they set people's alarms on Alexa.
Yeah.
And it happened to my sister sent me a text saying I have an alarm going off because of an episode of South Park.
Wow.
Because it's very sensitive.
Oh, yeah, yes, it's good. I was listening to you all the time, though.
But do you use it for anything else other than mute? Do you use it? Do you go, Alexa, tell me the news. Alexa, what's the weather like? I've never done that shit.
Do I use it for anything else? Masturbation, usually.
Yeah, it's good for that, if you hollow it out.
You just need a big drill bit.
This is true. This from Robert Mugabe, who says, guys, did you get my letter? And did you inquire about those farms? I'm sure I must own one over there somewhere. But Flamface Muldoon says this, and I really like this question. Why is it that the sandwich toaster is constantly lauded as the most unwanted Christmas gift? Every year, some tabloids knock out a survey of the top gifts no one ever wants, and the trusty Breville is always top. Now, given that a toasted sandwich is almost up there with a bag of chips in terms of a handy high street snack, how has this DIY version of a tasty sarnie been given such a bad rap? Not a wrap, it's a sandwich.
Can you still get sandwich toasters?
Though? Yes, you can. You can still get them, and it's a fair point. That if you go into a cafe or one of those high street, even a coffee shop, a toasted sandwich is pretty de rigueur.
Oh, yeah. Like
pretty standard fare, isn't it?
Panini.
No need for that.
From Derek J., the super gay DJ. Derek writes, oh, I'm going to need some music for this. Andre, give me some of that old Fact File music! Fact! Did you know that every mobile number in the UK adds up to 57? Well, this is apparently true. I read that, and I did it with my own number, and it's absolutely true. And I did it with my friend's number, and we're all doing it in the pub. Try it now, honestly. Add up your number. Obviously, it starts zero. You don't have to do the zero. Add it up. 57. It's incredible. It's such a good pub trick. It's the kind of thing you can tell people in pubs and they'll do it, and it's just like...
Well, call me Doreen. It does.
Exactly. It's mind-blowing, isn't it?
That's crazy.
I think it's some sort of weird sort of... It's how the numbers are composed from, like, an initial number, and it's separated out. It's something to do with how the network works.
Is it called a numerological anomaly?
Yeah. That's that sounds pretty accurate. So, yeah, 57.
I like it.
Just great. That's your Christmas entertainment. You don't need charades or Scrabble or anything like that, or even television. Just tell your friends and family the 57 thing. It's extraordinary.
Can I just read this one out, Kev?
No.
I was going to avoid this because I didn't think it was that relevant. But Dancing Dave, the dodgy Dane from Copenhagen, says, do you Brits have any quirky Christmas traditions? In Denmark, the world-famous Danish Christmas seals celebrate their 104th anniversary this year. That makes them the world's oldest kind of seals. Did you also know that Denmark originally invented the postal system and also created the Christmas seal? Dave, what the f*** are you talking about? I thought he was talking about...
So did I.
Seals. Wow, the seals were invented in Denmark. I think it's about the like a wax seal you put on the back of a...
Yeah, like you do with all your mail. Your butler does that for you, though.
Yeah, the butler does that. But he says that Denmark invented the postal system. Did they, bollocks?
No.
Who did they write to?
I got to be honest, though, your choice of emails there, that one's fairly pedestrian by your standards, you know. You selected it as a point of interest.
You know me, I like Danish facts.
All right.
That's the nearest we got.
Well, who doesn't?
Who doesn't? Thank you, Dancing Dave.
So do you want your Christmas present there?
No, not yet. I've got something to do. Do you mind if I go upstairs?
Really?
Yeah, look, we've got a new elevator here.
Oh, yes, nice, isn't it?
Let's press that. We're back in a sec, Kev.
Fair enough.
That is what it feels like, I reckon, to be on Dragon's Den. Will Guyot!
Judging from the stir of the crowd, yes! He's alive! Will!
Will! Now how we do it.
United, we start.
Did I walk through that with a sort of Dragon's Den swagger, do you think? I mean, was there... Did I have that kind of sense of trepidation, nerves and hidden cockiness that some of those characters have just before they're about to introduce their shite idea to the world?
You looked a bit like that Duncan Ballantyne, you know, a bit droopy one side of the face.
Are the lawyers listening to this? And too much Brill cream.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's definitely you. The pomade.
Ballantyne's not on it anymore. Ballantyne has
gone. I lost interest in Dragon's Den about 15 years ago. About the last time you put out a podcast, to be honest.
It was around about that time. Yeah, I think we all lost. Dragon's Den did lose a certain something, didn't it? There is no doubt. But it's a pleasure to be in the Dragon's Den lift. That's all I will say. We are not, however, we haven't invited you in, though, Will, of course, to talk about Dragon's Den. We thought, being Christmas podcast, it would be the mother of all fails not to ask you about a little bit of gadgetry and tech-based things.
Exactly. And the list, I want to know, I haven't spoken to Kev for so long. I want to know whether he bought any of my tips for last Christmas.
Kev, as you know, is... there's a moratorium on his dialogue with you. He is still...
He's not a fan.
I don't know why. I don't know what it was you did. Did you recommend Super Mario when he loved Space Invaders? What happened, Will?
I'm not sure. I'm genuinely not sure, but I did something to upset him. Never mind.
Well, I'm sure we'll get to the bottom of it at some point. But anyway, let's just talk. So it is Christmas. Everybody goes nuts at Christmas. And, you know, electronics and tech are... the top of everybody's list. In fact, as a kid, do you remember that even though all of the kit that we are so used to today didn't exist, it was always the electronic thing, though, that was... So, for example, Battleships. Battleships was just a game that came as a board game, and you had a piece of paper and you wrote down your coordinates. And then, do you remember Electric Battleships, where you programmed your coordinates?
I remember when
that dirty mama hit the marketplace, I was all over it because it was electronic. And there you go, you see. Yeah. We've always been seduced by something with a battery.
Well, they were rare. Electric toys were rare in the 1950s, so no wonder you were surprised when that one came through. But what I would say is increasingly...
We had it connected to my old man's car battery. Believe me, it was Battleships in our house. The neighbours wondered what was going on.
Yeah.
ISIS moved in next door.
Oh, my Lord.
It all worked a treat.
Can you say ISIS on podcast? Can you say ISIS?
What, without the listening monitors kicking in or something?
Yeah.
No, I guess so.
Yeah, so we've gone...
What you can't do is dwell on it.
No, okay, I won't dwell on it. We've gone into a world, right, where nearly all of the toys in the top 10 kids' toys are tech related. Be it a bloody leopard that talks to you via the internet, or they've got stuff like the Tamagotchi's come back again this year,
really,
for the billionth time. Furby, you can get a internet enabled Furby these days.
So is it a virtual Furby or a real Furby?
No, it's connected to the internet, but the thing is, they've been hacked. So some of these little Furbies have been saying some pretty perverted stuff to kids, which is, you know, well, I find that slightly funny. It's also really dangerous and not at all funny. Yeah, well, it's easy because what happens with all of this technology, and the companies go and develop it, but they don't ever employ anybody to patch the software, like in the same way as your phone constantly gives you updates for stuff. Yeah. They don't update the software that these companies make for these kids' toys, so they're quite easy to hack. And some of these kids' toys that are supposed to tell you various things via the internet are now saying absolute filth.
And you would have thought by now that pretty much anyone worth their salt in the tech department would have been onto that, because we talked about these sort of hacks, whether it was from internal CCTV cameras in kids' rooms. We've talked about this years ago, Will.
Yeah, and this Christmas, actually, which really got behind the consumer watchdog people, they've really got behind this and are trying to persuade retailers to ban these products. If they're not safe and secure, they say they shouldn't be sold. So wouldn't be surprised if we hear over the Christmas period some dirty old what's-it is delivering some abuse to kids via
a Furby.
Via a Furby, yeah. And, you know... technology for Christmas is one of these things whereby the one thing I am really pleased about, and I remember really clearly talking to you years ago on the podcast, because you've been doing this for a bazillion years, pink gadgets for women. They've really stopped doing that now, thank God. Women don't need separate pink gadgets. You just buy the same things. A woman doesn't need a pink Amazon Echo just because they're female. And so I'm really pleased that companies have finally woken up to the fact that they don't need to give it diamantes.
No, but it is and make not, it look it's like still nice to use. It's still nice to deliver it on a sparkly pony, though, isn't it? Let's be honest.
Making it look like Jordan's Range Rover.
Love all of that. Yes, indeed. Okay, so that's the kids. So the Furby is back. The Tamagotchi is back. I mean, I'm tempted to just guess here. The adult world, are we just talking about 1,200 quid's worth of iPhone here? Or is there something else that could fill our stockings at a slightly cheaper price?
The big one this year is the Amazon Echo, the Amazon
the screen
speaker.
No,
not even the screen one. The speaker versions themselves seem to have really caught on this year. Now, it's the whole digital assistant thing. Google have slashed the price of the Google Home speaker. Then you've got the Amazon Echo. Then you've got the Sonos One, which is the new one from Sonos.
Apple coming out with one next year as well, I think.
Yeah, Apple have got one next year. But they all roughly do the same thing. And it's you can play podcasts, so you can get all the back catalogue of Once a Word when even Ian Colin sounded young, and then you can go through to
here's what you use your Amazon Echo for: to time your spaghetti and
to
listen to some music. Yes, it does do it. Alexa, set a timer for 3 minutes. That's it.
Alexa, who is Ian Collins? And it said, I'm sorry, I don't have an answer for that.
No, you see, you say that as if I haven't tried it. I've tried that. And it worked to beauty. It actually reeled out who Ian Collins was. A completely different Ian Collins, of course, but that didn't matter. But it does.
Ian Collins was a radio presenter.
It does all of that. And it's great, and it seems miraculous. But, of course, like all of these things, once you've got a bit used to them, they're no longer that miraculous. And now there's a visual version of Amazon Echo.
The Echo Show.
Yeah, they're not pushing so much, I've noticed.
No, but they're really good. I have actually got one of those, and I'm looking at it now. And you can do some pretty cool stuff with that. It streams. If you're an Amazon Prime customer, which I'm pretty sure you would be if you've got one, you can stream video from Amazon Prime. You could ask it to play trailers. You can ask it to play YouTube videos. And they work. They work pretty well. They're a nice little sort of nice size. The sound quality is good on them. But they do seem to be the big seller this Christmas, the whole digital assistant. And I reckon next year we're going to see them get onto the next stage. So you'll almost be having a conversation with these damn things. You'll be able to ask it one question, and then you'll be able to follow up with a supplementary question. So it could be like, who is Ian Collins? And then it wouldn't know. But then you'd say, but what did he used to do? And then you could ask it the question that, you know what, that breaks the internet. How old is Ian Collins?
Oh,
if you ask any kind of digital assistant that one, it can't find the answer, Ian.
Well, if you go to Wikipedia, it's got me down as 50 or something. If you go to IMDb, I think it has me down as 32, which is why I always tell people to go. Why is that funny, guys? I always tell people to go to IMDb for all the facts. Give us one more thing we should be expecting, or we would love to see rammed into our stockings this Christmas.
Well, I'm hoping to make an amends with Kev on this basis. The Nintendo Switch. It's their new games console. It's a hybrid machine, so you can keep it plugged into the TV at home, or you can unplug it and then play it as a handheld, and the game will pause, and you can pick it up from where you were left it on the TV. It's got some incredible games for it. They're selling really well this Christmas. Nintendo have finally found the formula for a console that means that kids love it, families love it, but also adult gamers love it too.
Just for those who don't know what we're talking about, this is where grown adults pretend they're a spaceman or a cowboy or a soldier in an invented game. That's what we're talking about here when you say video games and stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think that is a fair assessment of video games.
It's demise of the human race. Yes, I agree.
It's a bit like radio presenters who pretend they're not rabid conservatives on the radio.
Don't bring James O'Brien into this. I mean, there's no. Come on, that's just unfair. He's not here to defend himself. Is it a game changer though? The
It's not the most powerful of games consoles ever, so it's not going to have the best graphics and the best experiences in terms of like the graphical experience. But what it does do really well, Nintendo only really make games for their own machines, and Nintendo make really high quality, high scoring games in terms of like the critically acclaimed ones. So you've got some really good games for it, and also because it's become so popular. I mean, it's only been on sale about 4 months, and it's sold over 10 million consoles worldwide already, which is pretty good going. It seems to be selling a lot of the big adult sort of the games that adults like as well have been coming to the console as well. So it seems to be really successful, and it's $279 this Christmas. It will of course come down at some point in the new year. But if you shop around and you've still got time to get one, you can get it for a deal with some games for around about the £300 mark if you go to one of the high street retailers.
Good work, Will. Thank you for coming in. I'm going to go back up that lift. Is that all right?
Yeah, go back up there.
In fact, you pick a number. I'll just press the relevant floor. See if it's the one.
62.
62.
Your age.
That's right. Happy Christmas, Will.
Happy Christmas, Ian.
It's Will Gert, everybody. Beautiful. I walked out of there like John Inman.
You did a bit. So Will's coming in there, right? Is Will's coming in?
No, we've done it.
What?
We've done it.
But the hug?
Don't ask. Nothing.
Squeezing the arse?
Nothing.
What? Well, maybe I'll get him next year then.
He just looked menacing.
Did he? Yeah. Well, I hope you can forgive me in time.
No message.
Will, I love you. Just, you know, come back and let's be pals again.
Love it.
Anyway, I'm excited. Do you want your Christmas present?
Yeah.
I've been working up to this for a whole year, trying to think of what to get you. Think of a present that you would really enjoy, that would mean so much to you, and you just love it. Do you want to know what it is? Do you want it now?
I want it now.
Okay. You ready, Andre?
Oh, I've reverted to being a kid again. Sense of palpitations. Butterflies. I'm wobbly.
And here it is.
Sideshow Kev's Showbiz Shoebox.
It's Sideshow Kev's Showbiz Shoebox, your occasional look into the box of showbiz fluff we find and keep under the bed. Now, this week, music.
I love the fact I've been gifted with the worst audio feature in the history of audio.
Oh, it makes you happy. Look at the little grin on your face. It's like you're a 12-year-old boy.
Yeah.
This year has been a year of more emerging music genres than any other. Yep. New strands of music, such as gamecore and future funk. Everybody knows Ian Collins is the country's leading expert on new music, so let's put him to the test. You'll hear some of 2017's new musical genres, but only one of them is real.
Okay.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Number one, name the real emerging musical genre.
Go for it.
Is it A, Trap Latino, B, Oily Crap Flap, or C, Subpar Flange?
I'm going for C. No, I'm going for A.
A, Trap Latino.
Yeah. I was almost part of it.
Were you?
Yeah, kind of.
Is it because of your Latino heritage?
It's me and Trevor Nelson put together a few beats a little while back.
Oh, yeah.
It just kind of had a Latin riff to it.
Oh, was
Julio
this
Iglesias endorsed it. And
was this the doomed Ian Del Rio project?
That's the one. Yeah.
Number two, name the real emerging musical genre. Is it A, jump style? Is it B, Beryl Reed? Or C, hyperthyroidism?
I think if it isn't Beryl Reed, it should be Beryl Reed.
Well, yeah.
Yes.
You're saying B.
I'm saying A.
A, jump style.
It is jump style. I know it's jump style.
Well, I know because you're an expert.
Yeah, indeed.
We've
but I wish it was Beryl Reed. I like the idea of it being Beryl Reed.
It feels like it's time for a Beryl Reed revival. You know how things like Acid House and things get popular for a short time? It feels like we should have like some sort of festival of Beryl Reed.
Beryl Reed. I think, you know, fueled by sort of Alan Bennett, perhaps.
Oh, yeah, nice idea.
Who, you know, wrote for people. Well, he wrote more for Thora Heard, didn't he?
Yeah, he
in
did.
In that kind of, you know.
He must have written for Beryl, though.
I think we could have a nice kind of almost a nod to Bennett, Heard and Reed in the genre of something or other. Oh, would you like a nice ice fancy? Get up, get up. Come and eat my wafy Christmas sausage rolls.
Yeah, very funny man, Alan
Bennett.
I've
got a chest on me. I'm staying in bed. Staying in bed.
Number three. Name the real emerging musical genre. Is it A, dreamy snore blast, B, vintage swoon, or C, Cajun twatcore?
I'm going for... definitely going for B.
B? Vintage swoon?
Yeah.
It's the correct answer.
Come on.
How do you know these? I mean, again, expert. Number four, name the real emerging musical genre. Is it A, serialism? Is it B, toasted knacker spurt? Or is it C, Marxist swagger pop?
It is definitely A.
Serialism?
Yeah.
You are good.
Yeah.
I know, you're just following the trends, aren't you?
Completely. No point in having Ollie Murs in your phone if you can't come up with stuff like this.
And finally, Esther,
yep.
Number five, name the real emerging musical genre. Is it A, melodic power metal? Is it B, poodle liquor metal? Or is it C, metal?
It's definitely A.
Now, are you sure about that?
Yeah.
Not into licking a flump? When was the last time you licked a flump, Ian?
Tuesday.
How was it?
Fine.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Did you get any on your flumpet?
A little bit.
The answer is A, melodic power metal.
On, that's a 5 out of 5.
I think that's a full sweep. You've actually done it.
You see, this just compounds the injustice that I've never been asked to go on Celebrity Pointless.
Or Celebrity Mastermind.
Yeah.
Or Celebrity Anything. If you
Which would
it.
Be fine, because I don't look at what I do in that genre if it wasn't for the fact that so many f***ing melons have appeared on there. That's my beef.
Do you feel like we've sworn a lot in this festive, family-friendly podcast?
I think there's been some profanity.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Here or there?
That's it.
Yeah, well, there we go. That wasn't bad, was it?
Yeah.
We can kind of remember how to do it. Should we do some more?
Nah. And there you go, festive peeps, all done and dusted. This is the part where I'm meant to say we'll see you next year for a brand new series of Once a Word. But given the sheer levels of lethargy that seem to have infected our collective minds and bones, we'll probably just see you in 12 months. That said, don't count it out. Our thanks to the entire Once a Word team. Manny Pritchard for script editing, Paula Cannon for producing, our studio editor was Ian Lee. The catering, as ever, was supplied by Abdul's Coffee Shack. Our work experience was at the beginning of this episode, Jake, but due to the constant pressure of gender fluidity and the human right to select your identity on demand, now self-identifies as a cocker spaniel called Tinsel. And thank you for your emails, tweets, and general abuse. It's been a flipping blast. Oh, and happy Christmas. Goodbye.
A Big Things Media production.
Big Things!
Ian Collins wants a word. With Bite Back Publishing, 67 people I'd like to slap. The new book from Ian Collins. Available now from Amazon and all good bookshops.